Constructive Communication, Four Steps to Cooperative Resolution. An issue has arisen, and now you know you need to have a talk with someone at work.
You want the conversation to go well.
But you know there is a very good chance your coworker won't respond well when you bring up the problem. You wonder, how can I bring this up in a way that won't cause him to become so reactive? The following is one approach which can greatly increase the probability of a constructive outcome. Four steps to cooperative resolution. Let's briefly list the four steps and then discuss each step in more detail. Number one, acknowledge the behavior. Number two, state how you feel when the behavior happens. Number three, solicit feedback. And number four, solicit a win-win solution. So step one, acknowledge the behavior. Begin the conversation by pointing out in a direct, inoffensive way that behavior you found troublesome. Directly stating the behavior helps us to be very clear so the other person won't have to guess about what we're referring to or how much difficulty the behavior may be causing us. Finding a way to point out the behavior in an inoffensive way may be a little more difficult. Certainly, there is a percentage of people who insist on finding offense in even the most inoffensive statement. Although it's difficult to know exactly where the other person's verbal landmines may be buried, do your best to pitch your message in a way that will be as comfortable as possible for the other person to catch. Maintain a casual tone of voice. For a healthy start, find a time when the other person is in a relaxed state of mind and begin with a casual, relaxed body posture and tone of voice. I often begin with the phrase, "I noticed," as a memory aid to keep my tone of voice casual, relaxed, and non-threatening. Focus only on what was observed. Beginning with, "I noticed," also reminds me to stay focused on only the behavior I observed. Avoid stating what you think the other person was trying to do or what she was thinking or mind reading. Stay focused on the behavior that was specific and observable. And try to avoid "you" statements. For extra credit, avoid beginning with "you" statement, as in "you just," and then insert their behavior there. For some people, hearing a statement about their behavior that begins with a "you" may sound as accusatory as a verbal shaking finger. And for others, it may remind them of lectures they've received in the past from parents or others. And for you, the speaker, it may be difficult to avoid a lecturing tone of voice when beginning a statement with "you." Next, state how you feel when the behavior happens. Use an "I" statement. Beginning the second step with an "I" statement will help you to express in a non-threatening way how you felt impacted by the other person's behavior. This type of statement will also help the listener to hear how his or her behavior impacts you without feeling judged. You know, the goal in this statement is to objectively bring the behavior up for discussion with a focus on finding a resolution that will be acceptable to both parties. Causing the other person to not feel judged will result in less defensiveness on his or her part and more willingness to work on a resolution with you. Once the other person digs in into a defensive position, he or she will often become more rigid and less flexible when it comes to modifying his or her behavior in an attempt to come to a cooperative resolution. An "I" statement may follow the format of "I feel," then you insert the emotion when action happens. For example, "I feel frustrated when I'm interrupted." You've probably noticed that you could have said, "I feel frustrated when you interrupt me." While this statement would be just as true as the previous statement, the inclusion of "you" in the second half of the statement may cause the other person to feel judged
and to begin to focus on protecting him or herself,
rather than focusing on the impact of the behavior on you. Although the word "you" can be included in the second half of the "I" statement, excluding it altogether will increase the probability that the other person will feel less defensive. Other examples of "I" statements are, "I feel hurt when I'm not included in plans," and "I feel frustrated when my opinions aren't regarded." "I feel threatened when I'm blamed for things not working out." Now let's talk about anger as a secondary emotion. You may have noticed that none of the above statements contained anger as an emotion. "I feel angry when..." In a great many instances, anger appears as a secondary emotion, in that the feeling is often preceded by another emotion, and then anger appears as a response to the first emotion. The most common precursors to anger are hurt, frustration, and threat. In confronting anger, you may find it helpful to focus on the emotion that was felt first. When you express to another person that you feel hurt, frustrated, or fearful, it will be easier for the other person to respond with compassion, because he or she is likely to have experienced a similar emotion at some point in his or her past. If the expression is one of anger, "I feel angry when," the other person will likely feel that he or she is a target of that anger. "I did something wrong and you are angry with me," and is more likely to respond defensively as a form of self-protection. There is additional benefit to looking for the emotion behind a person's anger. When another person expresses anger towards you, you will likely feel less attacked and more compassionate toward the other person expressing the anger if you look for the emotion that came first. In managing conflict, the difficulty often lies not so much in knowing what to do, but in doing what you know should be done. Looking for the emotion behind another person's anger can cause you to be more willing to do the things you know you should do to resolve the conflict. Now it's time to solicit feedback. This is where we use active listening skills. The third step in this four-step process is to solicit feedback. This can be accomplished through a simple generic question: what's causing this to happen? Meaning the behavior that happened in step one. Here, the other person will have the opportunity to tell you all the reasons why he or she acted as described in the first step. It's important to listen empathetically at this stage so that the other person will truly have an opportunity to be and feel listened to. Use all the active listening skills you may have learned before. Backtrack some of his or her key phrases so he or she will feel you're both on the same page. Paraphrase both the content and emotion he or she is communicating so he or she can confirm or correct your understanding on both counts. Ask clarifying questions to gain an even better understanding of his or her point of view. Pull as much information as you can and let them empty their bag. During this step, your goal is to gain as deep an understanding of the situation from the other person's perspective as possible. Allow that other person to vent, to fully describe the situation from his or her perspective. Perhaps even attempt to persuade you that his or her behavior is perfectly reasonable and acceptable. Your goal during this step is not to debate or persuade. Rather, your goal is to fully understand the other person's behavior from his or her perspective and to cause him or her to feel fully listened to. Don't fear. Resolution will come in the next step. And that last step is solicit a win-win solution. Lead the other person in a brainstorming possible solutions. For the fourth step in this four-step process, lead the other person in a cooperative brainstorming process for possible solutions. This can be done with another simple generic question: how can we not have or avoid this situation in the future? Allow the other person to generate possible solutions. Your goal at this point, as in any brainstorming session, is to merely help the other person to generate as many solutions as possible. Now, some solutions will be very creative. Remain non-judgmental. Now, be forewarned. The first few solutions generated by the other person will likely be very creative and maybe even self-serving. As in any brainstorming session, it will be very important to remain non-judgmental at this point. That includes refraining from judging the possible solutions verbally as well as non-verbally. Watch those rolling eyes and folded arms. Any judgment here will likely cause the other person to feel less willing to participate in brainstorming possible solutions, and it will shut down the process. Then, select one solution to try on a trial basis. When you feel a suitable number of possible solutions have been generated, select one solution that appears to best meet the needs of you and the other person, and suggest you both try out that solution on a trial basis. Now, be careful to not lead the brainstorming session only until the other person generates the solution you wanted all along. Keep working at generating possible solutions beyond the point when one or two acceptable solutions appear. You never know. You and the other person may come up with a solution that hadn't occurred to either one of you before. And when you suggest a trial basis, that suggests that the solution won't necessarily be permanent and will increase the probability the other person will agree to try the solution. Now, the other person's buy-in, after all, it was their solution, wasn't it? By causing the other person to generate the list of possible solutions, you will increase the likelihood that he or she will buy into the possible solution. He or she was the one who generated the solution, and in following up later, you can honestly say that this was a solution that he or she generated. Now, putting it all together. Putting the four steps together will consist merely of two statements and two questions on your part. Step one, I noticed that blank happened. Step two, I have to tell you, I feel blank when that happens. Step three, what's causing that to happen? And step four, how can we not have that in the future? Avoid justifying your emotion or adding any more to these statements than necessary. Adding more language may cause the other person to feel as if he or she is being lectured to. And adding more language can also increase the possibility you'll touch on a verbal landmine or sensitive area for the other person. Keep it short, sweet, and focus most of your time and effort on listening to the other person and in generating possible solutions. Then follow up. Once the proposed solution has been generated and a reasonable time has passed for implementation, follow up with the other person to see if the solution is working for him or her as well. Your goal all along in this process was not so much to cause the behavior you found objectionable to stop. No, it wasn't. But rather to arrive at a cooperative resolution that will create a better outcome for both you and the other person. This four-step process will not guarantee you will always get your way. It will greatly increase the probability of constructive outcome to many of your conflicts. The goal is not to win the battle, but to preserve the relationship so future differences will be more easily managed. With this four-step process, you can be at your best, even when others are at their worst.